Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of the John Chuckery Experience from the Northern Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92 on the game, taking you to 11 o'clock. John Fricke with you for tonight, tomorrow, and Friday, and then John Chuckery will be back on Monday as we get ready for the start of... I gave you the dates earlier here. I'm going to take these back up again. My countdown dates, where did they go? Here they are. The important numbers tonight, 14, 21, 29, 52. 14, 21, 29, 52. 14 days to the first veterans report. That'll be the New York Football Jets in 14 days. 21 days until the Falcons veterans report to Flowery Branch, and we will have complete coverage wall-to-wall of AT&T Training Camp on Sports Radio 92 in the game. 29 days until the Jets and the Browns toe meets leather, to quote the great Al Ciraldo. Jets and Browns in the Hall of Fame game 29 days from today. We are 52 days away from week zero with Navy taking on Notre Dame as the marquee game in week zero, and we'll see if they move any games up. You know, they sometimes they've done stuff like that and grab a game and move it up to Thursday night, but at the moment they haven't done that. 52 days until week zero. We're talking about any team, pro or college, you want to talk about. We've talked about Miami. We've talked about Georgia Tech, a little bit of Clemson talk in there. And certainly talked about the Steelers, the Cowboys, and others. And so if you want to jump in here, Day-Day's San Francisco 49ers. If you want to jump into the conversation, this week is about opening up college and NFL talk to all of you out there. And so in all my years of doing the national radio prior to coming to 92 on the game when we went on the air in 2012, I was out here doing national radio on the 4th of July weekend and talking football. And so I'm kind of bringing that back to this station in a way here. 404-726-0929. Let's get to Teddy. He wants to jump into the conversation. Hey, Teddy.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, man.
Hey, I got a few Nebraska football questions for you.
Oh, okay. Shoot.
Yeah. What year did Nebraska leave the Big 12 to join the Big 10? Was it the year that Ndamukong Suh was throwing Colt McCoy around like a rag doll?
Yeah, it may have been that next year or maybe the year after that. I don't recall exactly. I mean, that game stuck in my – there was a horrifically bad call by the officiating crew at the end of the game.
I relived that moment. The Huskers, we didn't have no offense that year.
Nope, but they had a great defense.
I know. The defense was awesome. And one more Nebraska question. Nebraska quarterback, that's the head coach for the Bengals. What's his name? Zach Taylor?
Yep.
How much do you think his success right now is from coaching or just Joe Burrow being so good?
Well, it helps that Joe Burrow's great. and Jamar Chase is great, and T. Higgins is pretty damn good, and Joe Mixon's pretty damn good. And, you look like a much better coach when he's your quarterback and not, I don't know, the noodle arm quitter. You know what I mean?
And one last question. Who's your favorite Nebraska player of all time? Amon Green or?
I don't know. I mean, all time. I mean, I've got so many friends who play for the team. That's hard for me to answer because I've got, these guys, are friends of mine. I mean, so. Tommy Frazier, I guess. I mean, I really don't have a favorite. Ndamukong Suh, I love so many of them. I don't even know where to start. Teddy, thanks for the call here. Interesting that these great powers, and hopefully Matt Rhule does well. And I hope Nebraska fans understand because, as you would think, having gone to school there, and having been a fan of the team, that. I'd pop onto the check out the Twitter, check out the Facebook, for the fans page as I do. And boy, some of these fans are just like, guys, slow down. Okay. 7 wins is a good season. All right. 7 wins for Nebraska is a good season. Yeah. All right. Just be like Kentucky. That's all, let's start somewhere. Boy, Scott, there is nothing more disappointing to me than Scott Frost and what he did in Nebraska or did not do it in Nebraska. Ugh, that was heartbreaking. And he comes in off a unbeaten season where Central Florida is calling itself the national champion and goes to Lincoln, and we all think we finally got it whooped, and he just, sometimes it doesn't work. And that one did not work. This is what you got to be careful of is getting into that spiral of coaches. So you have to have a coach come in and settle you down. I mean, and programs go through it, by the way. It took Gene Stallings to settle down the Alabama program at one time, right? And boy, Gene Stallings did really good things. People forget Gene Stallings because of, it was sandwiched in between Bear and Saban. But Gene did some really nice things with the program, really good things, like win a national title. He's a really good coach. And they went through all the Mikes. They had Mike DeBose and Mike Shula, and yes, they had Mike Price. Ooh-wee, roll tide, destiny. Yeah, so there were some lean years in Tuscaloosa. But also don't forget that Nick Saban comes in. He had the national title at LSU, but he had failed as a head coach at Miami with the Dolphins, sort of like Matt Rhule had those great teams at Baylor and failed in the NFL as a head coach at Carolina. Failing as a head coach in the NFL is not a game changer. Some guys are just built for the college game. But Nick Saban came into Tuscaloosa. His first year, he went 5-6. Or 5-7. One of the two. He was under 500. And that Alabama team lost a game at home to Nick Saban lost a game at home to Louisiana Monroe. Yeah, they lost to Louisiana Monroe at home in Tuscaloosa. Nick Saban. Those Louisiana Monroe guys, they still live that one. Hey, we beat Nick Saban at Bryant-Denny Stadium. They did. Now, the next year, they were off to the races. boom, 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 and everything else is history. But that first year, he was under 500. So sometimes it takes a minute. Now, Kirby Smart, it didn't take no time, right? I mean, Kirby walked in, but Mark Richt had put the program. I know that Georgia fans do have a, profound respect for Mark Richt. And, of course, we certainly wish him and pray for him the very best for his health. And Mark Richt, such a wonderful guy. And did really good things with the program, too. but couldn't quite get over that hump. But he left Kirby pretty stacked. I mean, Kirby walked in with a pretty good team. You know, a lot of talent. And so it wasn't like devoid out there. So he wasn't walking into a tough situation. Nick Saban walked into a tough situation in Alabama that first year. He had to get some players in it fast. And it's sort of like Matt Rhule. He had to get players in it fast. Now, Matt Rhule has an advantage because of the transfer portal, but nonetheless, because that didn't exist, obviously. I mean, you could transfer in those days when Nick Saban took over Alabama, but not like this. There were transfer players. Sure, there have been transfer players forever. And there were players transferring colleges in the 1960s and 1970s, and quite a few of them would transfer. It wasn't uncommon to hear of transfer players in the 1970s. But back in those days, sometimes you had to, you know, there were rules like you have to sit out a year or even two or something stupid like that. Or if you're going to transfer inside the conference in the SEC, you got to sit out 2 years. Why? Huh? Say who? Yeah, I mean, just silly rules like that. And think about, I thought those were silly then. Think about how silly that sounds now. That if you transfer within the SEC from an SEC school to an SEC school, not only do you have to sit out a year, because transfers had to sit out a year, but you got to sit out an extra year because you sit in the SEC. Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. 404-726-0929. You want to talk about your team, any school, any team, pro or college. There are teams in the NFL that I'm higher on than some other teams, you know, and that's okay. You have yours. I mean, if I'm picking division winners in the AFC, yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I'm going to go with some chalk. Sure, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I'm going to go with the Bengals. I'm going to go with the Jaguars. But in the AFC East, I'm not going to go with the Bills. I am going to go with the New York Jets. Gals, Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers until proven otherwise. Don't forget that when Brett Favre left, he ended up in Minnesota as the quarterback of the Vikings. And if he doesn't throw a really crappy interception late in the fourth quarter in New Orleans in the NFC title game, he takes the Minnesota Vikings to the Super Bowl. It wasn't like Brett Favre left Green Bay and just forgot how to play. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, and he's got weapons. He's got Breece Hall. He's got Garrett Wilson. He brought in Alan Lazard for a reason. That defense has got a lot of players. I like the New York Jets. So I'm going to go with the Jets to win the East. In the NFC, yeah, sure, 49ers in the West and Philadelphia Eagles in the East. Now, I don't know about the North and the South here. I mean, I think the Falcons will win in the South. The North, you could literally talk me into any of the teams.
North is open, but I think it's still Minnesota's to lose.
And see, and I don't.
Really?
No, I think the Lions are as good as Minnesota, and I wouldn't be shocked me if the Bears were.
Well, yeah, now minus Dalvin Cook, I could see. I don't know. You still got Justin Jefferson.
Okay, great. You got a great player. He's a great player. I understand that. But I think you're looking at Minnesota as to me, they were a paper tiger. That team, again, they went 12-1 in one score games. You know, are they going to do that again?
No, it's going to be tough this year. I still think it's theirs to lose, though. I mean, remember, I said that at the beginning of the year last year. I don't know if you remember, but I just and I like what Detroit is doing, but until someone, you know, it's like, you know, what's the old Ric Flair saying? To be the man, you got to beat the man. So until somebody really shows that Minnesota's not going to.
I can argue in the second half of the season last year, the Lions were the best team in that division.
You think so? Second half?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If they hadn't started like 1-8, they would have been, yeah. I mean,
they caught fire.
They went seven in a row. And,
yeah, they caught fire.
You know, and all that Dan Campbell weirdness and the Dan Campbell unusualness, right?
Well, they do have two of the, you know, they've drafted some of the best players for the trenches that they've got in Sewell and what's the kid? The defensive kid. Can't think of his name. The edge rusher. Gosh, I'm drawing a blank. But still.
Well, you're talking about Detroit? Aiden Hutchinson?
Hutchinson, yes, 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 yeah. Yes. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, and you know what? You hit on something. I was always a fan of Jared Goff. I just felt like he kind of got a raw deal. And initially, I thought going to Detroit was going to kind of be the, you know, the end of his career, you know? But he went up there and he did what he had to do. So you could be right. They could still be the team. They could be that team, but I just still think it's Minnesota's to lose.
I think it's really close. Any of those, I think you could throw – Green Bay is just an enigma to me. My expectation is they're not going to be very good. But I could be wrong. Again, this is why I asked for our cheesehead to talk to me about Jordan Love. Somebody who's seen Jordan Love more than I have. I've seen Jordan Love play a little bit, but I haven't really locked in on him. And what I've seen, I haven't been all that impressed. But, you know, I think they have enough faith in him. Obviously, they gave him the job, and it's not like there aren't other players out there.
They didn't go after anybody. They didn't even show interest in anybody else, so.
But they also may be setting themselves up, too. I mean, they may be setting themselves up in Green Bay. If I'm a Packers fan, I want that team to go 4-13. Well, why? I want Caleb Williams. I want Michael Penix. I want top of the draft. I want a top three pick. I want a quarterback. I want a star quarterback out of this next draft. I want another franchise guy.
Yeah.
I want Jordan Love to be Joey Harrington.
But do you? Like, what if he's that good and can be that guy, then just roll with it,
right?
Well,
if he is, I mean, yeah, well, sure. If he is, do you think he is?
I mean, to your point, we just haven't seen enough. I mean, between him.
Yeah, I know. We haven't seen enough.
You know, we just haven't seen enough. So Green Bay is just they're the oddball team. You don't really know what you're going to get because of that factor.
Well, I started this show off by saying all the loss last night by the Braves did was make them mad. It was 8-1 tonight. And Matt Olson hit a baseball like to the moon. I mean, I didn't see how far that went. Was it 500? I mean, oh my God. Was it the longest home run the Braves have hit this year? 474. Murphy hit a home run. Austin Riley hit a home run. How about that? And it was 8-1. That game easily with a couple of clutch hits with two outs in the later innings, that game would have been 11 or 14-1. I mean, the Braves just made them mad. And another really solid outing by Michael Soroka. How about that? Another solid outing by Michael Soroka. The Braves bats boom. They take 2 out of 3 in Cleveland. They shouldn't have. Again, now 25-4 in their last 29. And those four losses, two of them were in extra innings, and one was a one-run loss. And they kind of look at the extra innings and the one-run loss and say, we should have won all those. We shouldn't be 25-4. We should be 28-1. I mean, they went out and they just toyed with the Cleveland Guardians again tonight and beat them like a drum, which I fully expected, by the way, that they were going to do. I wasn't sure how the game was going to play out because we don't know, but I said, look, they're mad. Because, again, all it did was make them mad because once they tied the game yesterday, they couldn't get the run in the 10th, and they thought, if we just get this run in the 10th inning, we win the game, which they should have probably not even been in the 10th inning. They should never have let Cleveland back into the game to begin with, but things happened, okay? And so I think they just got mad. And so they go out and start pounding baseballs over the fence. They had 19 hits tonight. They only had 8 runs, but they had 19 hits. That's why I said it should have been 14-1. Thank goodness they didn't need a clutch hit. Eight runs on 19 hits. You're pounding on the Cleveland Guardians. Earlier in the program, we had a chance to have a lengthy conversation about what's going on, what's what with the Georgia Dogs, and look at the SEC, both the SEC East and the SEC West, with one of the experts, Jonathan Williams of Dog Daily. Going to bring that interview back for the audience that didn't hear it earlier, in-depth about what it looks like. We're less than a month away from camp on Sports Radio 99, the Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
From the Northern Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92 on the game, John Chuckery out for a few nights, John Fricke in for him. And I mentioned earlier, the countdown is on, the important dates you need to know, 14, 21, 29, 52, 14 to the first veterans reporting for the New York Football Jets, 21 to the Falcons vets reporting, 29 to the first Hall of Fame game, 52 days now to week zero. So the countdown is on for camps to open across the Southeastern Conference. We welcome into the program on the waitfor.com hotline. You can find him at Dr. Dr. J. Will on the Twitter, Jonathan Williams, Dogs Daily. Hey, Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me on the show.
No big deal. Hey, I got a question in regards to all of the issues, because we were having this discussion, Carl Dukes and I, the other day. We're having a discussion on the show about, he said to me, these issues that are happening up in Athens, do you think that they are a big deal? And my answer was, no, I don't think they're any deal. I don't think they're any deal at all. I mean, they're a deal, Jonathan, to the degree that obviously we had a horrific car accident that took two people's lives. But as far as it affects the program, I don't think this is affecting the program at all. Do you?
I mean, I guess it can affect the program in some instances. Like you said, when a tragic event like that happens, it definitely affects the roster and the team morale in some capacity. But in regards to the success that the program is having, the trajectory of this team in 2023, I don't know that it's going to have any effect on that. I think Kirby Smart and his entire staff has shown great leadership throughout his entire time in Athens, and I think they're continuing to show they are working to get better as a program. They're working to fix these things. As long as he shows those things and as long as he continues to be a great leader and he surrounds himself with great people and they show those kids what is right, what is wrong, and they keep putting them in good positions, I think the program's going to be fine overall.
Yeah, I do too, and we know that they have been tabbed to be favorites in all 12 of their games, and much has been made about their strength of schedule, though I think it might prove out to be a little bit more difficult. And again, Jonathan, I don't think we have to really worry about your strength of schedule. If you're going to win another Natty, you're going to have to go through an SEC title game and two playoff games. That stretch alone earns you a Natty, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the same instance as last year. You go into the SEC championship game undefeated. You probably still have a chance of going into the playoff, even if you do lose that game, of course, depending on who your matchup is. But yeah, the ultimate goal is you go undefeated in the regular season and you take care of business in Atlanta and you're in a prime position to go and win a national title again.
You know, being list season, Jonathan, there was one list here that I'm going to talk more at length about tomorrow, ranking the quarterbacks in the SEC. And we know who the big names are coming in because they're established quarterbacks. We're talking to the KJ Jeffersons and Devin Learys and people of that nature. I'm curious from a standpoint, if you say that maybe the quarterback, three-headed quarterback at Alabama, where Milroy, I understand, is leading, three-headed quarterback at Georgia, where Carson Beck is leading, we're going to get a breakout guy from one of those two on both teams that will eventually propel the starting quarterback of that particular team to top two or three in the SEC by the end of the year, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think both teams, I think Georgia is probably in a better position quarterback-wise than Alabama just because it kind of seems like they have their guy, Carson Beck, who's been in the program for 3 years now. He's been groomed to take over this leadership role and become the starting quarterback. Alabama kind of got to experiment with Milroe a little bit last year and see how he did. I think he did okay just for a guy that kind of got thrown to the wolves a little bit. And, of course, when you're being compared to how Bryce Young was playing for Alabama, you're never going to live up to those standards. And then you bring in Tyler Buchner from Notre Dame, a guy that does have some experience. But, again, I think there are more questions surrounding that Alabama quarterback room than there are Georgia's.
You know, there's been talk about how Nick Saban handles his quarterbacks. We saw the situation with, Tua and Jalen Hurts when he was there. I think it's been somewhat unfairly said of Kirby Smart. That he doesn't have a quick enough trigger or something. I'm like, dude, just won two national titles. I think he knows what he's doing here. And I think you've seen him pull the trigger before. You know, Jacob Eason happened and suddenly you had to go to Jake Fromm. And then you have Dwan Mathis happen and you got to make another decision. If anything happens to Carson Beck, he's not going to hesitate here. If Carson Beck doesn't come out of the jump here in a couple of weeks by the time you get to South Carolina to make a move, right?
No, absolutely not. I think it's funny because it's not until this season until Kirby Smart has really had a quarterback that has just waited his turn in the system. You mentioned the first two, Jacob Eason and Jake Fromm, were both true freshmen when they took over the reins of the offense. And then even Stetson Bennett, while he was at Georgia for multiple years before he became starting quarterback, he was at JUCO for a year, and then he came back under a new system with Todd Monken. So he really isn't even grouped together in that Carson Beck conversation of people who have waited their turn, developed themselves within the offense and really gotten their bearings before they became the starter for the team. So yeah, I think if it did come down to it, if say your starter, whoever it is, whether it's Brock Vandegrift or Carson Beck or whoever, if they aren't getting the job done, I don't think he'll hesitate to pull the trigger because he knows what's on the line. He knows what his team has to do. And if the guy's not getting it done, then he's going to take that guy on going with his next bet. He does it at every other position. So why wouldn't he do it at quarterback?
Jonathan Williams of Dogs Daily. He's at dr_jwill on the Twitter. He's talking dogs with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Is there a clear difference? Now, I know that Beck is going to be the starter, but is there a clear difference, like a gap between Beck and Brock and Gunner, or are those three pretty close?
I'd say the gap is, like I said, Carson Beck has just been there longer. And this is what comes with the territory of Georgia running a pro-style offense like they did with Munkin. And what it sounds like they're going to be doing the same thing with Mike Bobo now as offensive coordinator is, yeah, it takes some time for you to analyze the offense, really study. It takes time off the field to really become comfortable with commanding the offense and being ready to become the starting quarterback. So Carson Beck has had more time, and he's had more time to just become more mature. You know, if you've heard him talk here during the offseason, he has spoken about how he thinks he is more mature at this point. He understands what is called upon and what it takes to become the starter at Georgia and what that looks like for him. And he said in his first years, I was not ready to do that. As a person and as a player, I was not ready to become the starting quarterback for Georgia. So I think that's really the only difference. I mean, both guys, Brock Vandegrift and even Gunnar Stockton, all have all the tools in the world to be successful in the SEC and as college quarterbacks. But the gap is that Carson Beck just has more experience. And while it's even limited experience, he did get quite a bit of experience last year due to Georgia blowing out teams in the fourth by the fourth quarter, to where Carson Beck gets to get rolled in and he gets a few series to where he can chunk it around a little bit and just kind of experiment with himself and become more comfortable. And now I think he is just 100% ready to become the starter. And I don't know if you can say that for the other two guys right now.
All right, Jonathan Williams joining us. We're talking about some of looking ahead to some of the camp battles for Georgia here. Running back, is it going to be running back by committee, or do you see one of the backs breaking out and becoming that number one gun?
Well, I think over the years you've seen it become a committee. I think the last time you really saw just one guy or even two guys just dominate that room is when Nick Chubb and Sonny Michelle were there, and then even the year after that when it was DeAndre Swift as the headliner of the group. Since then, though, it's just kind of been a running back by committee. You don't have guys going for over 1,000 rushing yards in a season anymore. Kenny McIntosh was just your do-it-all guy last year, but even then, they were going in with Dejan Edwards. They were going in there with Kendall Milton when he was healthy, and then they even put in true freshman Branson Robinson as well. This year, I think it's all going to determine on the health in that room. Can guys stay healthy? Can Kendall Milton finally get a season where he's just 100% healthy the entire year? If he is, I think he could be a guy to do it that can kind of take over that room. But even Dejan Edwards, he's earned his stripes at this point. He's earned his carries, and he is more deserving of getting his chunk of playing time. So it's really just going to depend on where you at health-wise. Are guys banged up? And so if that's the case, then, yeah, you're probably going to have one guy just toting the rock for the majority of it. But I think it's still going to – I think their plan for this year is definitely going to be just keep it with a running back by committee.
Jonathan, on the defensive side of the football, who's the hardest guy to replace? Is it because you replace guys at every level here. And I know that you're reloading. I get it. I mean, and there's stars all over the place and five stars and everything. But is there a leader that will be harder to replace in terms of his impact on the defense than any of the other guys?
Yeah, I think if you're – most people would probably tell you Jalen Carter, but I would say from a leadership standpoint, it's Christopher Smith, who played safety last year for Georgia and was a veteran safety. That was a guy that played started for Georgia for multiple seasons, and he did a really good job of that. But he was very much so a leader in that locker room and a guy that people look to in times of adversity. So that's a tough one to replace. But the good news is that you have guys like Javon Bullard, Malachi Starks is going into year two. Tyke Smith is looking to be 100% healthy this year. And even the true freshman, Jonell Agbero, you have a lot of guys that you can experiment with there. Dan Jackson, even, he was banged up last year, but he looks to be a full go this year. So you have a lot of guys at once that can kind of help combat trying to replace a guy like Christopher Smith. You're not just having to highlight one singular guy that you are hoping replaces a guy like Christopher Smith. You get to do it almost like I said with the running backs. It's like a safety room by committee. You have so many different names that they're going to experiment with, and a lot of different guys that you're going to see out there playing safety for Georgia, even at the star position as well.
Is Dogs Daily going to open up a bureau at Buford High School? You're just going to hire a guy, and that'll be his job.
Honestly, it seems like you should at this point. There's so many Georgia targets on that roster. Dylan Raiola now coming in. KJ Bolden's on the list right there. Jaden Perlott is a commit in the 2025 class at linebacker. So there's so many names on that roster, and they're right down the road from us. So it seems like, yeah, you should just have guys there 24/7 because there's so much to cover just from the Buford Wolves.
Expand this out just in the final two questions, if you would, Jonathan. Jonathan Williams of Dogs Daily with John Fricke. Jonathan, two questions about the SEC. Final year of divisions here. Is it a case where you look at South Carolina's going to bat first here? I would imagine that they're going to put up at least a little bit more of a fight than they did last year, considering the way they finished the season. But is there really anybody in the East that's going to – is Tennessee really going to step up behind Joe Milton? Is Billy Napier going to get it together down in Florida with a new quarterback, you know, and Graham Mertz? Is there anybody in the East, Devin Leary at Kentucky, that might even be on your radar as being, okay, that might actually – you know, the one we have to be careful of?
I think it's between South Carolina or Tennessee. I don't think Kentucky's going to do it. They just had what would have been a first-round draft pick in Will Levis, and they couldn't really get the job done there. They really didn't live up to the expectations of them last year. I think Billy Napier and the Florida Gators are still kind of in rebuilding mode with Graham Mertz at quarterback. Even them, even the Gators, they sounded like they didn't have too much confidence going into this year with Graham Mertz as a starting quarterback. It looked like they might have potential of dipping into the portal and grabbing another guy. And just the rest of that roster, some of the guys that they lost, I think they're still kind of in that rebuilding mode with Billy Napier. So I think it is between Tennessee and South Carolina. South Carolina, of course, returned Spencer Rattler. And I think they would put up a better fight this year. But, man, they had Georgia at home last year, and they got beat down into the ground by Georgia. It wasn't even close last year. Yeah. And then Tennessee probably is the best shot this year, though, just because it is going to be in Neyland Stadium. But even then, like you said, can Joe Milton replicate what Tennessee was able to do with Jalin Hyatt, Hendon Hooker, and those guys? I don't know. It's a big year for Josh Heupel up there to see if he can continue this success, which is what you have to do to really become a powerhouse in college football right now, is you have to string successful seasons together consecutively. And so it's a big year for Josh Heupel and them. And I do think there are still some questions about Joe Milton. I don't think it's just a sure thing that he's going to go in there, light the world up, and be a Heisman front runner or anything like that. I think it is going to have to be – you're going to have to figure things out from week one to week four and see if it is going to be like that. Because, I don't know if you're going into the season expecting that he's going to do the same thing that Hendon Hooker did, I think you might be in for I think you might be a little bit disappointed if you're a Tennessee fan.
Final question, Jonathan Williams, as we head towards SEC Media Days in Nashville coming up in about 10 days or so. And as we look for a number two in the East, I think we look for a number three in the West. Alabama and LSU are clear of the field, I think. But one of those teams will have a good season. One of those teams will step up, and it could be Arkansas, and it could be Ole Miss. I guess it could be A&M, I guess. I don't know. I guess. Is there a team out West that you think that is going to possibly, outside of Alabama and LSU, be a little bit more of a harder out this year than some fans realize?
I think Ole Miss always has a shot with Lane Kiffin just because of the offense powerhouse that he has built out there. He always has the offense going. It's just a matter of getting the defense going on top of that as well. So I think you can always kind of bet on them to maybe be that tough out in the West and maybe exceed expectations, whereas LSU and Alabama right now are the two front runners right now, but maybe Ole Miss can finally get some things rolling there and they end up being one or two in the West. And Arkansas, they return KJ Jefferson. That's really important for them. Sam Pittman, he's kind of been able to elevate that program a little higher than it was a few years ago. So maybe he can finally push through that threshold this year and start getting into the topper edge of the West. But I think really it's going to boil down to LSU, Alabama, and Ole Miss. But then maybe Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher can finally put to use that number one recruiting class that they just had a year ago and play like everyone expected them to and play to their level of football and not be losing games to App State. So I think maybe four teams, I'd say A&M, LSU, Alabama, and Arkansas would be those four teams. Everybody else, I don't know if I could see them reaching up to those one or two seeds.
I do appreciate it. Next stop, Nashville for you?
Maybe. I don't know. We're still trying to figure those things out. I hope so, though.
All right. Well, it sounds good. Hey, Jonathan, I do appreciate it. At Dr. Dr. J, the letter J, WILL, on the Twitter, at Dr. J. Will. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you.
From the Northern Kia Studios, John Fricke for John Chuckery tonight. I'll be back tomorrow and Friday doing this as well. We spent a lot of time talking football, and we will continue to talk football because we are every day inching ever so close to the start of training camp. And, of course, our full coverage of AT&T training camp begins later this month on Sports Radio 99 The Game from Flowery Branch. But in the meantime, we still have a baseball team that we've got to get through because they are just some kind of special, aren't they? I said at the beginning, very beginning of the show, something I tweeted out last night. I said it kind of cleaner on the air than I tweeted. That loss last night is just going to make them mad, because that's exactly what happened. Because they were mad. They were mad after that game. They should never have lost that game, and they know it. They should have swept the Guardians. And so I said, they're mad. They're angry. And they're going to kind of take it out. Well, they had 19 hits tonight. If they get a clutch hit here or there, that isn't an 8-1 win. That's like 12-1, 14-1. Easy. I mean, it would have been just a demolition. I mean, it was a demolition as it was. 19 hits, 14 singles. Everybody in the batting order had a hit, at least one. Sean Murphy had four of them. Murphy had one of the three home runs, his 15th of the year. Riley hit his 16th of the year. Matt Olson hit one to the moon, his 29th of the year. And with that 29th home run, Matt Olson also hit the 70 RBI mark before the All-Star break. I don't know. I mean, we're starting to talk about individual records here. Matt Olson certainly way ahead of the pace to break the all-time home run record. And the interesting stat about the all-time home run record for the Atlanta Braves is that in the entire history of the Braves, the Boston Braves, the Milwaukee Braves, the Atlanta Braves, there's only been one player who hit 50 or more home runs in one season, and it only happened one time. That was Andrew Jones, who hit 51. Hank never hit 50 in a year. He had a lot. He had, like, if you look at his, you know, his baseball card, 44, 47, 46, 47, 45, 44, 46, 47. I mean, it was like, oh, that was what it was. He could, for whatever reason, he just didn't hit 50. Eddie Matthews never hit 50. Jeff Burrows never hit 50. I mean, we're talking about the great sluggers. Murphy, Dale Murphy, but then again, I don't know that Dale Murphy ever hit 40. I don't think he may not have. He was always like 37, 38. I'm not sure Dale Murphy ever hit 40. Chipper never hit 50. I mean, so all these great players, all these great sluggers, you know, Javi never hit 50. I'm sure he was in, you know, 43, 44 range. You know, you go back in time, you know, to Darrell Evans and other great big hitters that this team had. But so only one guy's hit 50, and that's Andrew Jones, and Olsen's way ahead of that. If I'm not mistaken off the top of my head, I think Gary Sheffield's 132 RBIs is the Atlanta Braves' RBI record. And so with 70 already, I mean, he's ahead of pace on that. Murphy's home run also gave Murphy 50 RBIs on the year. There are now four Braves with at least 50 RBIs at the All-Star break. That's a lot. Murphy has 50, Acuna has 54, Ozzie has 63, and Olsen has 70. There's also three more that are in the 40s, have more, at least 40, Ozuna, Eddie, and Riley. That's seven players with at least 40 RBIs before the All-Star break. That's a lot. That's a lot. So they continue to pound on things. Other good news from this 8-1 whooping of the Guardians. Michael Soroka went 4.2, gave up five hits, but didn't allow a run, and struck out four. It wasn't a masterclass or anything, but it was good and solid and another step in the right direction. And Michael Tonkin came in and gave a really good long relief performance, really good one. It was also Brian Snicker's 600th career win, so congratulations to Snit. And it was their 10th straight series win. Now they get a day off tomorrow. They go to Tampa. For all the talk about that great start that Tampa was on, do you know that the Rays are going to Tampa? They're 2.5 games ahead of the Rays in the race for number one overall. They caught them, passed them. They're 2.5 up. And that's for the overall best record in the game. For as great as the Rays have been, the Braves are 2.5 ahead. They're also 8 games ahead of the next best team in the National League, the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Miami Marlins. And, of course, they 9-1 against the Marlins this year, Day-Day? I think so, right? 9-1. I mean, they own every tiebreaker. Their record against the East is stupid. It's like 27-3 or so. Who knows? I mean, it's just dumb. But the Marlins, they're 9-1 against the Marlins, if I'm not mistaken. So they own every single tiebreaker already. I mean, they've like won the season series, and we're not even to the halfway point. Oh yeah, we got that. So it'll be Charlie Morton on Friday, Spencer Strider on Saturday, and Bryce Elder on Sunday. People are saying, of course, that this is a bit of a preview of the World Series. I'm not sure that it is. And I think, look, the Braves are going to get to the World Series. The Braves are going to win the World Series. I'm not sure Tampa's going to get there. You know what? Second half, I could see Houston hunting them down. The Astros have been the best team in baseball for quite some time now. The Astros and the Braves and the Dodgers, those three. But the Dodgers are not catching the Braves. Nobody in the National League is catching the Braves. The Astros could catch them. That would be the one team. Even though I know the Orioles have played well, the Rangers have played very well. The Rangers hit like nobody's business. The Rangers hit like the Braves do, but the Rangers' pitching is just not no good. And it's so not no good. They're going to be buyers at the All-Star, at the trade deadline. The Rangers are. Look, they could buy Max Scherzer. I hope they do, actually. Keep him out of the National League. I don't want to see that dude no more. Though we've fared fairly well over the course of time against Scherzer, so not really overly concerned about it. But again, 19 hits, 3 home runs, 2 doubles, and 14 singles in this game. They just couldn't quite get that one or two extras. That would, I mean, as if 8-1 isn't enough, right? That's it. All they did was make them mad. Now they get the day off. They go down to Tampa, and they have something else to prove down in Tampa that, hey, you know what? We're the best team, not you. And watching these guys play, you know, one of the things that somebody said to me the other day, Day-Day, mm-hmm. when I was talking about how this team, you know, what happens if they clinch by, you know, August 20th and they've clinched everything, you know? I mean, what if they're just so far ahead that the last 30 games don't mean anything, you know? Late August, it's, you know, not only is the division clinched, but they've clinched like number one seed in the National. I mean, they're so far, they're 15 games ahead. I mean, stupid. Do they get bored?
Yeah, I, you know what? I don't think they'll get bored. I think they'll stay inspired. I think they'll be on a mission. They were so close last year, and the letdown of last year, I think it will be, even with a big lead, even, you know, come the end of August, you know, they're up double digits over everybody in the division. I think they'll still be motivated to prove that, one, they know they should have got it done last year.
I also think that there's an individual competition inside the locker room there. I think they all look at their numbers. You know, I was just kind of going over some of them. I think there's like a little home run race that goes on. Like, they've all ceded the home run race to Matt Olson. But there's a race for like number two. You know, Ozzy is currently the second, and then you got Acuna, and then you've got Riley going, he hit another one tonight, but Riley's like, I've got to have more than 16. I got to get in this thing. And Murphy's like, I got to get into this thing. You know, everybody's got to get in, right? I got to get more. I got to get mine. Everybody wants to get to, you know, theirs. And you see, you know, and now there are some guys, especially in the bullpen and even in the starting rotation, you know, they're all fighting for spots. Because once they go into the playoffs, if you get Freed back, if you get Wright back, you'd have Freed and Wright, Strider and Elder, Morton and Soroka. You'd have six starters, legit starters. There's only four spots. And so there's going to be some serious, you know, down the stretch, hey, I want to be on the rotation. You know, so a couple of those guys are probably going to be long relievers. And so it'll be really interesting. I think that that's going on. And there's still a competition in the bullpen, too. This is why I do want the one guy I mentioned earlier, Josh Hader. If the Padres make Hader available, yes, I would trade a couple of youngsters to the Padres to rent Josh Hader for the remainder of this year. Yes, of course I would. And I think anybody else who wouldn't is being foolish. It's about winning this now and immediately. Yeah, the numbers this team, you know that they have 166 home runs. 166.
Yeah. And they're number two in the league, I think, in hits and three in runs or vice versa, but they're right there at the top.
But they're 166 home runs.
I know. I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, there were many a year, if you go back to the 90s and look through those teams, the Ron Gant, David Justice, Fred McGriff, you know, all the great players, you know, Terry Pendleton, and all the great players that we had, where those teams would end up with 166 home runs for the year.
Yep.
And they were, you know, division winners and World Series teams. They had 166 for the year. This team has 166 now.
Yeah.
They have 78 games to go.
And they were, I know when I looked at it last week, they were like 10 home runs ahead of whoever was next.
Oh, no, they're like 25 or 30 home runs ahead. I mean, they have like 166, and the next highest total is like 132 or something like that. No, I mean, this team, it's like beer league softball, isn't it? Get up there and pound one out.
Yeah.
You know? So I think there's a little competition going on inside this this team. They're all looking at the numbers, right, every day. They look at the stat sheet every single day. And you know a guy like Austin Riley's got a lot of pride, and Austin's had a big year. I mean, he's got 16 home runs. He's got 44 RBIs. He's hitting 270, made the All-Star team. 16, 44, 270, 16, that slash line, 270 average, 16 home runs, 44 RBIs. And there could be some more down in Tampa. And starting the on the All-Star team, that's a really good first half. And yet, in comparison, he's looking at other people going, I can't touch Acuna. I can't touch Olsen. I'm not touching Ozzy. You know, I mean, he's like, okay, Murphy's now ahead of me in RBIs. I mean, he's like, I got to get mine. I don't think there's any getting bored. I think they're all trying to set record after record after record. Riley's thinking, how do I get hot enough to hit 40 home runs? And if I hit 40 home runs, would I crack the top five on the team? There was a year, oh, I want to say it was 73, maybe 73. I'd have to go back and look at the, somebody out there wants to crack a book, they can, where Hank Aaron, Darrell Evans, and do you guys know who Davey Johnson is? Yeah, the manager guy. Some people forget, Davey Johnson was a star second baseman for your Atlanta Braves. And those three guys all hit 40 or more home runs that year, like 73. Davey had pop. So you had Aaron hit 47, and I think Darrell Evans hit 42, and Davey hit 43 or something like that. You had three guys hit over 40 home runs. I'm a kid. We were talking about that in school going, the Braves had three guys hit 40 home runs or more. How does that happen? Well, this year, you have one, two, three. They're certainly on pace to hit 40. And if they get hot, you could have four, five, six. You could have seven. You could. Now, it's going to require a couple of guys to get really hot, like Eddie and Riley. They'd have to have really monster runs here. But let's put it this way. All seven are probably going to hit 30, and at least three are going to hit 40, maybe four. Wow. It's just insane. The numbers that they're putting up is so much fun to watch, isn't it, Day-Day? I mean, just isn't it?
It really is. I mean, and just it's just fun to watch. They're just cool. Like, just they're just having fun, man, and that's what makes it so fun to watch them because they're having so much fun.
And you know, you sit here and rattle off stats, and people go, don't just rattle off stats. But you have to rattle off the stats because the stats are what's making it fun for us. They are a stat machine. They're going to be breaking all kinds of records. Oh, by the way, if you're curious, the record for home runs in a season by a team is 307 by the Minnesota Twins of 2019. Okay. The Braves have 166. They are on pace to break that record. So yikes. They could end up as the all-time greatest home run hitting team in the history of baseball. Well, then, again, I have to think about, you know, maybe the pace of what they're going at, but it's just, it's three home runs. They hit three home runs tonight, and you go, that's all? They only hit three? Yeah. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'll be back 7 to 11 tomorrow and 7 to 11 Friday and on your radio on the weekend as well. And John Chuckery will be back next Monday night. Thanks to all of you who called in. Yeah, even you, Mel. And thank you, Day-Day. I appreciate your work and your effort tonight.
It was a pleasure. Looking forward to doing it again with you tomorrow.
All righty, stand by, top of the hour, JR, and much more as we continue on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
From the Northern Kia Studios, John Fricke for John Chuckery tonight. I'll be back tomorrow and Friday doing this as well. We spent a lot of time talking football, and we will continue to talk football because we are every day inching ever so close to the start of training camp. And, of course, our full coverage of AT&T training camp begins later this month on Sports Radio 99 The Game from Flowery Branch. But in the meantime, we still have a baseball team that we've got to get through because they are just some kind of special, aren't they? I said at the beginning, very beginning of the show, something I tweeted out last night. I said it kind of cleaner on the air than I tweeted. That loss last night is just going to make them mad because that's exactly what happened. Because they were mad after that game. They should never have lost that game, and they know it. They should have swept the Guardians. And so I said, they're mad. They're angry. And they're going to kind of take it out. Well, they had 19 hits tonight. If they get a clutch hit here or there, that isn't an 8-1 win. That's like 12-1, 14-1. Easy. I mean, it would have been just a demolition. I mean, it was a demolition as it was. 19 hits, 14 singles. Everybody in the batting order had a hit, at least one. Sean Murphy had four of them. Murphy had one of the three home runs, his 15th of the year. Riley hit his 16th of the year. Matt Olson hit one to the moon, his 29th of the year. And with that 29th home run, Matt Olson also hit the 70 RBI mark before the All-Star break. I don't know. I mean, we're starting to talk about individual records here. Matt Olson certainly way ahead of the pace to break the all-time home run record. And the interesting stat about the all-time home run record for the Atlanta Braves is that in the entire history of the Braves, the Boston Braves, the Milwaukee Braves, the Atlanta Braves, there's only been one player who hit 50 or more home runs in one season, and it only happened one time. That was Andrew Jones, who hit 51. Henry Aaron Hank never hit 50 in a year. He had a lot. He had, like, if you look at his, you know, his baseball card, 44, 47, 46, 47, 45, 44, 46, 47. I mean, it was like, oh, that was what it was. He could, for whatever reason, he just didn't hit 50. Eddie Matthews never hit 50. Jeff Burrows never hit 50. I mean, we're talking about the great sluggers. Murphy, but then again, I don't know that Dale Murphy ever hit 40. I don't think he may not have. He was always like 37, 38. I'm not sure Dale Murphy ever hit 40. Chipper never hit 50. I mean, so all these great players, all these great sluggers, you know, Javi never hit 50. I'm sure he was in, you know, 43, 44 range. You know, you go back in time, you know, to Darrell Evans and other great big hitters that this team had. But so only one guy's hit 50, and that's Andrew Jones, and Olson's way ahead of that. If I'm not mistaken off the top of my head, I think Gary Sheffield's 132 RBIs is the Atlanta Braves RBI record. And so with 70 already, I mean, he's ahead of pace on that. Murphy's home run also gave Murphy 50 RBIs on the year. There are now four Braves with at least 50 RBIs at the All-Star break. That's a lot. Murphy has 50, Acuna has 54, Ozzie has 63, and Olson has 70. There's also three more that are in the 40s, have more, at least 40, Ozuna, Eddie, and Riley. That's seven players with at least 40 RBIs before the All-Star break. That's a lot. That's a lot. So they continue to pound on things. Other good news from this 8-1 whooping of the Guardians. Michael Soroka went 4.2, gave up five hits, but didn't allow a run, and struck out four. It wasn't a masterclass or anything, but it was good and solid and another step in the right direction. And Michael Tonkin came in and gave a really good long relief performance, really good one. It was also Brian Snicker's 600th career win, so congratulations to Snit. And it was their 10th straight series win. Now they get a day off tomorrow. They go to Tampa. For all the talk about that great start that Tampa was on, do you know that the Rays are going to Tampa? They're 2.5 games ahead of the Rays in the race for number one overall. They caught them, passed them. They're 2.5 up. And that's for the overall best record in the game. For as great as the Rays have been, the Braves are 2.5 ahead. They're also 8 games ahead of the next best team in the National League, the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Miami Marlins. And, of course, they 9-1 against the Marlins this year, Day-Day? I think so, right? 9-1. I mean, they own every tiebreaker. Their record against the East is stupid. It's like 27-3 or so. Who knows? I mean, it's just dumb. But the Marlins, they're 9-1 against the Marlins, if I'm not mistaken. So they own every single tiebreaker already. I mean, they've like won the season series, and we're not even to the halfway point. Oh, yeah, we got that. So it'll be Charlie Morton on Friday, Spencer Strider on Saturday, and Bryce Elder on Sunday. People are saying, of course, that this is a bit of a preview of the World Series. I'm not sure that it is. And I think, look, the Braves are going to get to the World Series. The Braves are going to win the World Series. I'm not sure Tampa's going to get there. You know what? Second half, I can see Houston hunting them down. The Astros have been the best team in baseball for quite some time now. The Astros and the Braves and the Dodgers, those three. But the Dodgers are not catching the Braves. Nobody in the National League is catching the Braves. The Astros could catch them. That would be the one team. Even though I know the Orioles have played well, the Rangers have played very well. The Rangers hit like nobody's business. The Rangers hit like the Braves do, but the Rangers' pitching is just not no good. And it's so not no good. They're going to be buyers at the All-Star at the trade deadline. The Rangers are. Look, they could buy Max Scherzer. I hope they do. actually. Keep him out of the National League. I don't want to see that dude no more. Though we've fared fairly well over the course of time against Scherzer, so not really overly concerned about it. But again, 19 hits, 3 home runs, 2 doubles, and 14 singles in this game. They just couldn't quite get that one or two extras. That would, I mean, as if 8-1 isn't enough, right? That's it. All they did was make them mad. Now they get the day off. They go down to Tampa, and they have something else to prove down in Tampa that, hey, you know what? We're the best team, not you. And watching these guys play, you know, one of the things that somebody said to me the other day, Day-Day, mm-hmm. when I was talking about how this team, you know, what happens if they clinch by, you know, August 20th and they've clinched everything? You know, I mean, what if they're just so far ahead that the last 30 games don't mean anything? You know, late August, it's, you know, not only is the division clinched, but they've clinched like number one seed in the National. I mean, they're so far, they're 15 games ahead. I mean, stupid. Do they get bored?
Yeah, you know what? I don't think they'll get bored. I think they'll stay inspired. I think they'll be on a mission. They were so close last year, and the letdown of last year, I think it will be, even with a big lead, even, you know, come the end of August, you know, they're up double digits over everybody in the division. I think they'll still be motivated to prove that, one, they know they should have got it done last year.
I also think that there's an individual competition inside the locker room there. I think they all look at their numbers. You know, I was just kind of going over some of them. I think there's like a little home run race that goes on. Like, they've all ceded the home run race to Matt Olson. But there's a race for like number two. You know, Ozzy is currently the second, and then you got Acuna, and then you've got Riley going, he hit another one tonight, but Riley's like, I've got to have more than 16. I got to get in this thing. And Murphy's like, I got to get in this thing. You know, everybody's got to get in, right? I gotta get more. I gotta get mine. Everybody wants to get to, you know, theirs. And you see, you know, and now there are some guys, especially in the bullpen, and even in the starting rotation. You know, they're all fighting for spots, because once they go into the playoffs, if you get Freed back, if you get Wright back, you'd have Freed and Wright, Strider and Elder, Morton and Soroka. You'd have six starters, legit starters. There's only four spots. And so there's going to be some serious, you know, down the stretch, hey, I want to be on the rotation. You know, so a couple of those guys are probably going to be long relievers. And so it'll be really interesting. I think that that's going on. And yeah, there's still a competition in the bullpen, too. This is why I do want the one guy I mentioned earlier, Josh Hader. If the Padres make Hader available, yes, I would trade a couple of youngsters to the Padres to rent Josh Hader for the remainder of this year. Yes, of course I would. And I think anybody else who wouldn't is being foolish. It's about winning this now and immediately. Yeah, the numbers this team, you know that they have 166 home runs. 166.
Yeah. And they're what? They're number two in the league, I think, in hits. And three in runs, or vice versa, but they're right there at the top.
But there are 166 home runs.
I know, I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, there were many a year, if you go back to the 90s and look through those teams, the Ron Gant, David Justice, Fred McGriff, you know, all the great players, you know, Terry Pendleton, and all the great players that we had, where those teams would end up with 166 home runs for the year.
Yep.
And they were, you know, division winners and World Series teams. They had 166 for the year. This team has 166 now.
Yeah.
They have 78 games to go.
And they were, I know when I looked at it last week, they were like 10 home runs ahead of whoever was next.
Oh, no, they're like 25 or 30 home runs ahead. I mean, they have like 166, and the next highest total is like 132 or something like that. No, I mean, this team, it's like beer league softball, isn't it? Get up there and pound one out.
Yeah.
You know? So I think there's a little competition going on inside this this team. They're all looking at the numbers, right, every day. They look at the stat sheet every single day. And you know a guy like Austin Riley's got a lot of pride, and Austin's had a big year. I mean, he's got 16 home runs. He's got 44 RBIs. He's hitting 270. Made the All-Star team. 16, 44, 270, 16, that slash line, 270 average, 16 home runs, 44 RBIs. and there could be some more down in Tampa, and starting the on the All-Star team, that's a really good first half. And yet, in comparison, he's looking at other people going, I can't touch Acuna, I can't touch Olsen, I'm not touching Ozzie. You know, I mean, he's like, okay, Murphy's now ahead of me in RBIs. I mean, he's like, I got to get mine. I don't think there's any getting bored. I think they're all trying to set record after record after record. Riley's thinking, how do I get hot enough to hit 40 home runs? And if I hit 40 home runs, would I crack the top five on the team? There was a year, oh, I want to say it was 73, maybe 73. I'd have to go back and look at the, if somebody out there wants to crack a book, they can, where Hank Aaron, Darrell Evans, and do you guys know who Davey Johnson is? Yeah, the manager guy. Some people forget. Davey Johnson was a star second baseman for your Atlanta Braves. And those three guys all hit 40 or more home runs that year. It was like 73. Davey had pop. So you had Aaron hit 47, and I think Darrell Evans hit 42, and Davey hit 43 or something like that. You had three guys hit over 40 home runs. I'm a kid. We were talking about that in school going, the Braves had three guys hit 40 home runs or more. How does that happen? Well, this year, you have one, two, three. They're certainly on pace to hit 40. And if they get hot, you could have four, five, six, you could have seven. You could. Now, it's going to require a couple of guys to get really hot, like Eddie and Riley. They'd have to have really monster runs here. But let's put it this way. All seven are probably going to hit 30, and at least three are going to hit 40, maybe four. Wow. It's just insane. The numbers that they're putting up is so much fun to watch, isn't it, Day-Day? I mean, just isn't it?
It really is. I mean, and just it's just fun to watch. They're just cool. Like, just they're just having fun, man, and that's what makes it so fun to watch them, because they're having so much fun.
And you know, you sit here and rattle off stats, and people go, don't just rattle off stats. But you have to rattle off the stats, because the stats are what's making it fun for us. They are a stat machine. They're going to be breaking all kinds of records. Oh, by the way, if you're curious, the record for home runs in a season by a team is 307 by the Minnesota Twins of 2019, okay? The Braves have 166. They are on pace to break that record. So yikes. They could end up as the all-time greatest home run hitting team in the history of baseball. Well, then, I have to think about, you know, maybe the pace of what they're going at, but it's three home runs. They hit three home runs tonight, and you go, that's all? They only hit three? Yeah. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'll be back 7 to 11 tomorrow and 7 to 11 Friday, and on your radio on the weekend as well. And John Chuckery will be back next Monday night. Thanks to all of you who called in. Yeah, even you, Mel. And thank you, Day-Day. I appreciate your work and your effort tonight.
It was a pleasure. Looking forward to doing it again with you tomorrow.
All righty. Stand by. Top of the hour. JR and much more as we continue on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.